Also, we want to cover GPLA, since you and I will both be there. Exciting.
Kapla. Isn't that a Klingon word?
Kapla is, yes.
Kapla.
Kapla. Kapla means victory.
All right. And do you still have the Klingon forehead prosthetic?
Yes, I do.
All right. Kapla.
Right. It means success or victory. So it's Kapla. And if you're saying that to your captain, you would say Kapla, Jacques, oui.
But what does GPLA mean in Klingon? What is Gupla?
Oh, I think it means strong bowel movement. It is a modern tournament, after all.
Mm.
Are you building a modern deck, by the way?
No.
Watch list, rite of replication. That's bold.
That's overdue.
Yeah, it is. And it suits here. It's good. Although you don't want to save that for mono blue tokens?
Who's mono blue tokens? Besides Talrand.
Talrand.
You want to do a whole episode on Talrand?
No.
Okay, you get all the counter spells, and you put them in your deck. People try to cast things, and you don't let them.
You don't let them.
And then you get a bird lizard or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's like a frog lizard, except it flies. When someone tries to kill all your bird lizards, you counterspell it.
Yeah. If they want to do little things, maybe they can do little things. But not the big things.
What about a mana vault? You gonna let them have a mana vault?
Yeah, sure, if they keep it tapped down all the time.
Yep. So they just spent 4 mana to untap it.
Capsized.
And then it goes back to their hand, and then they're sorry.
Yeah, they're sorry.
Yeah, they are.
That's the Talrand episode.
We just did it.
Done.
I'm Phil DeLuca.
I'm Nate Burgess.
And Sean can't be with us today, but he's always in our hearts.
Like a worm, a parasite, digging, hanging out in the ventricle.
Oh, God. That's a heartworm.
Yeah.
So Sean is like a heartworm.
Well, he's in our hearts.
He's in our hearts. Worming his way through our hearts.
Yeah, you got to cook that ground pork before you eat it.
Oh, yeah. You better cook that pork. And we are Commanderin.
Commanderin.
Hey, I got hairs poking through my pop guard here. Oh, God.
Wait, did you attach the pop guard to your face?
Yes, I'm wearing the pop guard like a Bane mask at this point, just like you recommended, and it's a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Bane, I understand you've been spending some time on Zendikar recently. Is that true?
Oh, yes.
Where do you go when you're on Zendikar?
Oh, mainly Balagad. Sometimes I go to Progress.
To Progress?
Yes, the Bane of Progress.
I was unaware that that's a city on Zendikar.
Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I see.
Progress, Pennsylvania. That sounds legit.
Was that kind of like a temporary encampment, maybe? Of survivors? You spent time with the survivors of Zendikar?
For a while. Until I put them all in the arena and showed them the detonating device. Are you the only one who knows how to defuse this archangel?
Sounds like you had a good time, Bane.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for listening, everybody. If you've made it through that, then you're probably a true fan. Because ordinarily, we focus on topics that everybody wants to hear about. Specifically you. You want to hear about this stuff. And we talk to interesting people along the way, but never ever talk about 3 banned topics. Religion, politics, and Hearthstone. You can find us on all the social medias by searching for Commanderin MTG Podcast. We're on all the social medias. I won't go there. Of course, our website, we should mention, Nate, that our website is CommanderinMTG.com. And you can find all of our deck lists. A lot of people ask us this, so I think we should put it up in the front of the show here. But a lot of people ask us where they can find our decks. And the lists that we've put online are all at deckstats.net. How would they search for us? I forget.
It's kind of difficult to search for a specific user on there, so we're going to tweet the link and add it to the regular show notes.
Yeah, that'll pull up our deck list. And you'll see that we have them sorted a bunch of different ways, mainly by host and then by guest. So, but that's not why you're tuning in. This episode, we are continuing our Big Mana series with a discussion of Yallara, Master Polymorphist. Or is it Yallara? How are you pronouncing that?
Might be Galera.
Galera? Make that a hard G instead of a J?
Yeah. Galera.
Yeah.
Galera and Jave, Guru of Spores.
Like Ghidra?
Like the giraffics interchange format.
Oh, yeah.
That you use to look at pictures of giraffes.
Yeah. Muzio, Visionary Architect. And Arkham Dagson. I'm kind of excited to talk about all these. It's going to be awesome. But first, we have some news. You're probably aware by now, or at least the more astute listeners are aware by now, that Sean is not on this episode. Sean is coming back. It's probably our number one most asked question, besides how Nate prepares hamburgers. He's coming back in May. He's waiting on a computer. We've been in touch with him recently. I actually made him laugh over text. At least he sent an LOL, so what does that mean? Probably means he wasn't laughing.
His fingers were laughing.
His fingers were laughing. Just like the British do. So stay with us, listeners. Our Commonwealth friend will be back. Of course, we had a wonderful response to our Commonwealth guest, Charles Moreau. The Riku Holmes, or Riku of Clue Reflections, or whatever you want to do to add clue in there, was really well received. Anybody who has any comments or suggestions should make sure to tweet them at us or Facebook and post them or whatever that's called.
Quit it.
Hey, none of that now. And let us know your suggestions. He's looking for suggestions. He's trying to make it an absolutely fun but lethal deck. And lethal deck, I should say. Nate and I are going to be at Grand Prix Los Angeles, or how are you pronouncing that?
Gupla.
We're really looking forward to it. Mainly, we're looking forward to playing in the EDH side events. Maybe not the ones that are actual, official, like, side events. I love Sealed. I know, Nate, you like to play Sealed games as well. And Sealed with Shadows over Innistrad is a blast. So looking forward to that. And so I did sign up for the main event, but that was largely to get the playmat and the Stoneforge Mystic. Oh, and some fancy Channel Fireball sleeves, which may see use if I'm ever drafting or in a sealed league outside of Gupla. So if you're going to be at Gupla, let us know. Tweet at us. Message us however you wish. And, of course, don't forget to Skype us for whatever you want to do. Nate, this episode, we have a watch list.
The watch list.
Oh, what was that? That was new.
That was me going slightly insane. And you've selected a very special card, maybe after a recent traumatic experience, haven't you?
This was supposed to be the watch list in our last Big Mana episode.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're doing Mono Blue today, and this is a blue card, it's getting bumped to here. And we're going to talk about it right now.
Mm. And what is it about a card that earns its place on the watch list?
Oh, it has to affect the meta, and the other players in your meta see the card, they see it played, they want it, or they want to fight against it. And they have to design their decks to counter it, or maybe include it, or both. The watch list.
Yeah, and this is a perfect card for it. You should just take it away with this one. I've seen you use this card more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Rite of Replication. 2 generic mana. Blue. Sorcery. It's got a kicker 5.
Kicker!
You can pay an additional 5. So for 9 mana, you put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of a target creature. If Rite of Replication was kicked, put 5 of those tokens onto the battlefield instead. Now, hey, do creatures have enter the battlefield effects?
1 or 2.
Yeah. And what happens is all the creatures enter at the same time, and they see each other, if that matters, for enter the battlefield triggers.
But surely that would never matter.
No. Unless someone in your meta plays any of the following creatures or more. And for the following examples, let's take the gentler case where you are copying someone else's creature so that you only get 5 of them.
Okay.
See, if you copy your own creature, then all of the numbers that I'm going to mention, they get bigger in various ways.
Uh-oh.
So let's start off easy. You got those one mana ladies in green or white, like Soul Warden, Soul's Attendant, Essence Warden. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you gain a life. Well, 5 of them enter the battlefield. They each see 4 others. You gain 20 life.
You think they say hi to each other? Hey, how's it going?
All right. Yeah, lots of high fives.
Because you get 5. Badoomch.
So, a more mundane example, Terastodon.
Oh, yeah.
If you get 5 Terastodons, then 15 target permanents are now 3/3 elephants.
Oh, my.
Eidolon of Blossoms. You get 5 of them, they see 5 of them. You draw 25 cards.
Ooh.
The next one, let's thank friend of the show, Nick Jaragoski, for bringing this one to our attention. Master of Waves. What happens is you get 25 6/5 elemental tokens.
That'll end a game.
Next turn, yeah.
Yeah, next turn. Unless there's a little something angry in your graveyard.
Master of Waves is in blue, by the way.
Yeah.
So, does anybody play Massacre Worm? Does anybody like that creature?
Nobody with a soul.
Do you see it played often?
It has been played once or twice.
Yeah, so if you get 5 copies of it, then your opponent creatures get -10/-10. And then your opponents lose 10 life for each creature that of theirs that dies.
Will that kill a creature?
10 life kills a lot of creatures.
Yeah.
And it's not even damage. It's -10 to their stats. So.
Right. So your opponent's all smug, plays an Avacyn, is like, ha ha ha, my stuff's indestructible. Massacre Worm. And you don't have an Avacyn anymore.
Or 10 life.
Or 10 life because of the Avacyn. And then if there's any other creatures out that die, then that just becomes horrendous. Yeah, that's what they would deserve anyway.
Mm-hmm. Next is Hagra Diabolist. It's an ally in black that whenever it sees another ally come in, then Hello. It deals damage based on the number of allies you have.
It's like, hey, buddy, 1 second. Hey, buddy, 1 second.
So you get 5 allies. They do damage when either they enter the battlefield or they see another ally enter the battlefield. So that's 5 times 5 times 5. You deal 125 points of damage to target players in chunks of 5.
Oh, my. And so if you have any way to redirect damage from a particular source, all you're doing is redirecting 5 points of damage.
Yeah, you get 25 howitzer shots at players.
Yeesh.
Well, you do 5 points at a time, but you do it 25 times.
Bam, 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 bam. That's great.
Gray Merchant of Asphodel. You've heard of that guy.
Yes, he's good.
So when 5 of them enter the battlefield, you have 10 devotion.
Just with those guys.
Mm-hmm. Just with those guys. So that's 5 times 10. That's 50 life drain per opponent.
Wow. Wow. That'll dent even a Loro.
That'll make some dents, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, suppose it's a legendary creature. You'll note that the Rite of Replication and all the Enter the Battlefield triggers, they resolve, before the legend rule applies and you have to sacrifice four of them. So with, say, Reaper King, you get five Reaper Kings. They all see four other scarecrows. You destroy 20 target permanents.
Yeah, I have seen this one.
Yeah, I've done that one.
Yeah, it's not particularly friendly, Nate.
Yeah, well, sometimes games have got to end.
Yeah, and end it this does.
Let's restart the game, except I have permanents.
Yeah, I've seen you do that when it's down to just you versus another player, and I've been that other player. And then, bam, Rite of Replication takes all my permanents away.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you heard of that guy Purphoros?
Yeah. Oh, my.
If you have five of them, then you have five devotion, and they're all creatures. And they all see four other Purphoroses enter the battlefield, doing two damage per trigger. So you get 40 damage per opponent.
Oh, that's spectacular. That's right. And because they see each other, they all have, they're all creatures when they come in.
Yep, that's what I said.
Ooh. Yeah, it took me a minute. My brain disbelieved.
Now, sometimes with these legendary creatures, interesting things happen when they leave the battlefield. Like Vela the Nightclad. If I get five Velas out and then four of them die, then that's 20 damage per opponent.
This one I have seen, too.
Yeah, you've seen that one. How about Kokusho, that magical black dragon?
Yeah.
When four Kokusho leave the battlefield, yeah, you drain 20 life from each opponent.
That is ugly. You drain 20 life?
20 life. It's a mundane example. The four that leave drain 5 life each.
Oh, man, that's nasty.
One of our patrons gave an example, saying the best experience they had with this was using it on Windborne Muse versus two token decks. And Windborne Muse is a ghostly prison on a stick. So if you get five of those, then they got to pay 10 mana per creature to attack you. He says he's combining it with Armageddon. That makes for quite an unhappy lot. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. So they can't even get one attack. And I think he mentioned he was playing with playing against tokens, right? That's horrible. If you're the token player.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do if your meta starts playing this all over the place? There's one thing you can do. There's a card called Dual Caster Mage. It's a guy in red, and he has flash. And when he enters the battlefield, he copies a spell. So someone kicks a Rite of Replication on something, and you have a dual caster mage. You cast your mage, target the Rite of Replication, target that on your own dual caster mage. Then you get five copies of dual caster mage. Each dual caster then targets Rite of Replication again, and then you can have infinite copies of every creature on the board. It's like you make a wish for five more wishes, and you repeat every fifth wish. So if we use our non-infinite house rule where you can only repeat a cycle of actions five times in a turn, then Dual Caster Mage only gets 20 copies of Kicked Rite of Replication and a bunch of Dual Caster Mage chump blockers.
Yeah. Wow, that's living the dream. We have to try to make that happen.
Yeah, you'll make a screen cap of that, I'll bet.
Yeah. Wow. And of course, they're trying to copy something that's already pretty good, and so you're getting 20 times?
Yeah.
20 times the copies that they are.
Oh, no, 20 copies of Kicked Rite of Replication. So you get 20 copies of copy something five times.
Oh, my word. That is horrible. I don't even want to... It wouldn't work with a Massacre Worm, right? Because the original Massacre Worm would be long dead.
Yeah, it depends where it is.
Oh, and it's a target creature, so you could actually copy the tokens. Oh, so it would work with a Massacre Worm, because then your subsequent kicked rites would target your token Massacre Worm.
You take whatever you want.
Yeah, just pretty much anything you want. It's going to be great. Yeah, no wonder you've selected this for the watch list.
And that's Rite of Replication.
Wow. I kind of want to just lean back and have a cigarette after all that, Nate. We even still have a main topic to get to, but goodness, the Rite of Replication watch list is an episode in and of itself. I'm stunned.
It works on a lot of creatures.
Let's just go play until we can make this happen. Well, our main topic, this one is one that's near and dear to your heart, right? This is Big Mana, Mono Blue.
Big Mana!
Tell us about these commanders, Nate. You selected them.
So this episode, we're doing Big Mana in Mono Blue.
Dun, dun, dun.
All of these commanders, they're in Mono Blue, and they tap. And maybe they pay some mana. Maybe they sacrifice a creature. And then they dig through their libraries to put something on the board, kind of for free. Hopefully, something better than what they already had on the board. Today's focus is on Jalira, Master Polymorphist. Muzio, Visionary Architect. It's-a-me, Muzio. And Arkham Dagson, Son of Dags.
He's a good son of Dags. He's lived up to their name.
He's Arkham. One thing to note, the Big Mana series is about commanders that save you mana. Mm. Sadly, this does not include Memnarch or Thada Adel Acquisitor.
Aw.
Memnarch, for example, is mono blue, and he does artifact shenanigans. But since his CMC and abilities eat up all your mana, which is the opposite of making things cost less mana, Memnarch is not considered to be a big mana commander.
No, he takes big mana to activate.
He eats your mana.
Yep.
Good things happen, though, when you do, though.
Yep.
If you feed him your mana.
Yep. He was the star of last night's game, where I tested Muzio.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Thada Adel, Acquisitor, is also mono blue and digs through libraries. She presents some interesting opportunities to snoop through your opponent decks and deny opponents their important artifacts forever. But if you want the artifact, you still have to pay the mana cost to play whatever Thada Adel exiles.
Yeah.
So she is also not a big mana commander.
Nope. Sorry, Thada. You're a good commander, but not a big mana commander.
These two legends might be in the 99 for some or all of today's commanders, but they are not today's focus.
That's right. Get out of the spotlight. Get out.
Our first commander is Jalira, Master Polymorphist. 3 and a blue. Legendary creature, human wizard, 2/2. And if you pay 2 and a blue and you tap, sacrifice another creature. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a non-legendary creature card. Can't be legendary.
Nope.
It'll dig right past them.
Goes right past.
Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Hmm.
So the strategy is you pay 3 mana and you tap her to sacrifice a cheap creature to dig for an expensive creature and play it for free. So I built a deck with Jalira, and the general deck strategy is you have many non-creature spells that make token creatures, or they steal or copy my opponent's creatures for Jalira to sacrifice.
You did that?
Yep.
That's right.
Next up, there are no weak creatures in the deck. The top creature card in the library is guaranteed to be a horrible monster, because all of the creature cards in the library are horrible monsters. So Jalira's dig effect never whiffs. It always brings me something that I want to see on the battlefield right now.
What are you using?
Eldrazi.
Of course.
Note that you can put legendary creatures in the deck,
yeah,
and Jalira's ability will dig right past them.
Eldrazi.
So for the big creatures, you have some options. Some non-legendary titanic creatures. You got sea monsters, if you like them. There are some leviathans that aren't bad, krakens, serpents. You got Eldrazi. They got Annihilator. You got Void Winnower.
Void Winnower.
And Bane of Balagan.
Hey again, Bane.
Or you can have mecha robots, huge artifact creatures, and we'll save these for Muzio section. But you can have a Pacific Rim deck that includes all of the above.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's funny.
Do you need some flying beaters? Well, get some sphinges, which is the plural for sphinx. I looked that one up.
You did?
Mm-hmm. And if you want your deck with extra cheese, palancron and great whale,
mm-hmm.
which are kind of overpowered. So you might not make friends if you play them.
No. And with a high tide, they become extra special fun.
Sploosh.
Wow. That's nasty. And this is the deck that you built, right? You've playtested this? How does Jalira Yelbor,
yes.
if our friends at Commander's Brew are to be believed, Yalira?
Galira sits back for a while until she can get some weenies on the board.
Yeah. And you're playing things like Thopter Spy Network and the like?
Yeah, we got some, well, first, let's get some non-artifact creature token generators in blue.
Okay.
We'll cover the artifact creature makers later with Arkham Dagson. So Jalira can use Arkham's list as well as the following. Skywise Teachings is an enchantment. Whenever you play an instant or sorcery, you can pay a little extra and get a little flying 2/2 in blue. Throne of Empires is an artifact. It costs 4, and you can tap it and pay 1 mana to make a 1/1 token of some type.
Nice.
Trading Post also costs 4. If you tap it and pay 1 mana and 1 life, you get a goat. And if you're playing an artifact deck, Trading Post also has some useful tricks.
Yeah, it does.
Springjack Pasture is a land. And you can tap it for colorless mana, or you can pay 4 mana and tap it to make a goat.
Gotta love those goats.
Meh. We always have to consider Mimic Vat.
Yes, we do.
Just in general.
Yeah, it's a good card.
And then there are the living weapons. The efficient ones tend to be things like Flare Husk, Batter Skull, Scythe Claw, maybe,
yeah.
if you can be unblockable. Hmm. And then there's Captain's Claws, which is an equipment that makes a little dude when you attack.
Yeah, it does. Hey, that's a good one.
And then Jalira kills them all to bring some kind of monster out of the sea.
She doesn't really get attached to things, does she?
Well, you know I love the evil wizard ladies.
Oh, yeah. I know you love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she makes these little creatures, or even takes a big creature that's already served its purpose and gets rid of it, and gets some kind of horrible monster from the deep.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, when we started talking about this, we picked commanders. You picked Jalira, and I think we did manage to play a couple of games. And then life got too insane for me to playtest for a little while. But did you play this against other people?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah? And how did it do?
It's about whether I can get something out before everyone just kills me.
Did they see Queen Jay and just decide, no, you have to die now?
I think it might have been after the first or second Eldrazi.
Yeah, I wondered if the legend of Queen Jay was enough to inspire people to attack and kill you.
I hadn't really heard that she had a legend.
No, I mean after you play her, there's a legend.
Oh, well, you have to leave witnesses for the legend to spread.
And Eldrazi don't leave witnesses, typically.
They don't leave permanents.
Not the ones you play, at any rate.
Mm-mm. Oh, did I tell you about my Mazurek Eldrazi tribal?
I think we saw it last night, didn't we?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was when the Void Winnower came out that everybody's desire to eliminate you cemented. That was a frightening deck.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of Eldrazi just have the word sacrifice on them.
A whole lot of Eldrazi. Yeah, sacrifice any permanent. Boom, Mazurek's team gets a bonus.
And you got those little token dudes that can sacrifice themselves for mana.
Hey, look at me, boss.
And I'm in green, so I can make token dudes.
Huh, yeah. Some synergies with making token dudes.
Mm-hmm. And putting counters on things.
Yeah. You know, we should do an episode just about Mazurek at some point.
Yeah, sure. It's pretty straightforward, though.
Well, yeah. But still, straightforward's fun.
But it is fun to play a cannibalistic deck once in a while.
Eldrazi eating Eldrazi. All right. Now, is Ylira known for, or Jalira known for a, does she have a good sense of humor? How do we transition to that?
That was a good try. So, Galera might like the card Polymorphous Jest, which is a neat card. It's an instant. It turns everything into frogs.
Hello.
And if you've always wanted to play this card but didn't know what deck should use it, come on. Galera is a master polymorphist.
I can't believe you're sustaining Galera.
Oh, yeah. And other things like Swan Song, Turn to Frog, Curse of the Swine, and arguably Illusionist's Gambit, which is also a fun one. Mm. They're all strongly thematic inclusions for a reality-bending mage.
Yeah, that's true. She actually bears a lot of similarities to Kozilek, doesn't she?
What?
Polymorphin, changing things into other things. Because that's what Kozilek does.
Well, she doesn't counter spells or draw cards or...
Yeah, but she does warp reality to her own will.
Yeah, sure.
Our next mono blue big mana commander is Muzio, Visionary Architect. For one and blue blue, you get a 1/3 legendary creature, human artificer. Yes, fear the 1/3. Muzio's main ability is for 3 and a blue and tap. You look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the highest converted mana cost among artifacts you control. You may reveal an artifact card from among them and put it onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. So not random like Ylira. They're not worried about you being able to stack your deck with the first use of Ylira in this case. And so Muzio, you pay the 4 mana, tap it. As you put it, you sort of scry X, where X, again, is the casting cost, the converted mana cost of an artifact you have in play. So if you have Lightning Boots on Muzio, that's 2. You're looking at the top 2 cards of your deck. But later, when you've got some fancy cards out, like maybe some of the artifact creatures we'll talk about, or a Darksteel Forge, then you're digging through a significant portion of your deck, choosing the best card among them. That's an artifact, of course, and putting it onto the battlefield. And so this begins to snowball. It's a wonderful effect. Obviously, you're likely to be playing some affinity or cards that care about artifacts being in play, so you'll want the 2 artifact lands that you can play. But you don't want 0 CMC artifacts on the battlefield. For the most part, you're playing with big, expensive cards in terms of converted mana cost. And utility cards like Scroll Rack and Sensei's Divining Top that help you stack the top of your deck. Scroll Rack in particular is indispensable in this deck. So you want a higher percentage of your deck to be artifacts. I'd have to look at my Muzio and see what I actually got there. Because the worst thing you can do is whiff, right? Last night, while playtesting this, Nate, you actually put the Mycosynth Lattice out, which turned Muzio into a 3-mana artifact. When I activated Muzio's ability, I whiffed.
You whiffed?
I whiffed. That's right. And it was the most unpleasant feeling I've had playing Magic in a long time. Because the board was starting to really favor you, and it was getting supremely ugly. And I think the very next time I did it, I popped a Nivineral's Disc out because I was like, this is going too fast, guys. We got to slow everything down. And so Treasure and Trinket Mage are both good in this deck. Trinket Mage is good if you're looking to cast it. But Treasure Mage, of course, finds the CMC 6 or greater artifact. It's great if you've got the top of your deck manipulation. And the second game we playtested last night, Nate, I had a Darksteel Forge in my hand. I had the Platinum Empyrean and several other cards that were just monsters. But I couldn't cast them. Nope.
But didn't you scroll rack them back on your deck?
I did, because the first time I activated Muzio, there was a scroll rack, and I was like, yeah, it's got to be that card. So I put the scroll rack into play, and then from then on, I could just generate whatever I needed to, so... Yay. Life was good after that. So we'll talk about the big artifact creatures here. And these go into a number, well, pretty much, they really favor Ylira or Muzio. But of course, Arkham can use them and does. Mirror Battle Sphere, a classic in most decks, and in this one really, really shines. Memnarch is maybe the MVP of the deck. Being able to turn anything into, you're not using your mana except to tutor from the top of your deck anyway. And Memnarch, of course, facilitates that, being a high CMC creature. But you've got all of that leftover mana, and so you just start turning things into artifacts and stealing them when you can. It's lovely. Blank Steel Colossus, those are great cards for this deck. And Platinum Blank. That made me laugh when I saw your notes in there. Yeah, the Platinum cards are good. Of course, you've got Steel Hellkite Tyrant. Steel Hellkite, yeah. Hellkite Tyrant's on the brain after Charles's deck. Steel Hellkite's in there to remove creatures. You're able to use your mana for instants and sorceries or the occasional enchantment if there's one that proves useful. Training Grounds, for example, which lowers the activation cost of an activated ability. It's lovely. You remember when I first picked Muzio, I was complaining about it because my green brain didn't really know how to use a mono blue commander effectively. I've never built a mono blue commander. And this plays like a green deck. It's just like, I'm just going to grab something off the top of my deck, put it onto the battlefield, and then hopefully hit you with it next turn.
So it's like my L.
It's like my L. It's like having Garrick Beast Caller. Garrick Caller of Beasts. But for your artifact creatures, so. It's lovely. Recommended. The real gem in these three commanders is the next one, isn't it?
Yeah, this guy can be a problem.
Yeah, he can.
I didn't really know anything about this guy, and we needed someone to make a third deck to make sure we knew how these decks played before we can talk about them, and so I made an Arkham Dagsum deck. It's not hard to make an Arkham Dagsum deck that just locks down the board. So let's talk about this guy. Arkham Dagsum. 3 and a blue, legendary creature, human artificer, 2/2. So all you have to do is tap him. And target artifact creature's controller, which is probably you. You have an artifact creature out. Sacrifices that artifact creature. That player may search his or her library for a non-creature artifact card, put it into play, then shuffle his or her library. This guy costs about $5. So you tap him. You sacrifice a cheap artifact creature to tutor an expensive artifact non-creature and play it for free. So you can turn a Memnite into a Mirror Works. You can turn an Ornithopter into a Darksteel Forge. You can turn a Mirror into a Mindslaver. You can turn a Solemn Simulacrum into a Spine of Ishsah. So Arkham has a valid use for those zero-cost artifact creature cards that we all used to laugh at. Memnite is a 1/1 construct. It's about $2 in a gumball. Ornithopter is a 0/2 flying thopter. It's about a gumball. It's got some reprints. Phyrexian Walker is a 0/3 construct. Costs a couple gumballs. And Shield Sphere is a 0/6 wall that disintegrates when it gets in combat. And that's about $1.50.
That's fun. Do you use Shield Sphere?
I use all of them. If it costs zero, it's in there.
That's cool.
So, there are some artifact creature token generators in blue.
Just a couple.
Yeah, and we mentioned that Galera can use these as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thopter Spy Network is an enchantment for 2 blue-blue, and if you have an artifact, you get a free Thopter every turn. Mirror Turbine. This one's important. It costs 5, and all you got to do is tap it to make a 1/1.
Oh.
It costs about $1 in a gumball. We'll see this card later. Nuisance Engine costs about a gumball. It costs 3 mana, and then you pay 2 mana per tap to get a 0/1 Pest.
Yeah.
Sharding Sphinx costs about a gumball. I think it's a bit too slow for Arkham. I think it costs 6 mana. Whenever an artifact creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you get a free Thopter. But it's a blue Thopter.
And, of course, you heard the interview on the Commander's Brew episode where with the Sharding Sphinx, right?
the sharding sphinx.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really, it's a hard life for that sphinx.
Mm-hmm. Whirler Rogue. It's 2 in blue.
You use Whirler Rogue?
I don't, because it's not an artifact.
Right.
But it's an option there. It costs 2 in blue. It's a creature human rogue artificer, and you get 2 free thopters when it enters the battlefield. Then you got things like Hangerback Walker, which I don't know how much it costs. It's like 8 or 9 or 10.
Yeah, it's still up there.
And it's an artifact creature that you can put an even number of mana into it, and when it dies, it explodes into thopters. Then there's Thopter Assembly, which costs gumballs, and if it's still on the field at your upkeep and you don't have any other thopters, you get some thopters, and it goes back to your hand. So, in addition to the weenie generators, there are some useful artifact creatures that are just good to sacrifice. There's Perilous Mirror. It costs 2, and when it dies, you do 2 damage.
It's 2 damage for you.
Yeah. Then there's Mere Sire. All of these cost a gumball, by the way. Mere Sire, it costs 2, and when it dies, you get a little 1/1 mirror.
Aw. Isn't it cute?
Yeah. Keeps giving. Then you got Junk Diver, which costs 3, and it's a flying guy. And when it dies, you can take an artifact from your graveyard and put it into your hand.
Yeah, don't be diving on my junk.
Then there's another one called Mere Retriever, which does the same thing. So, if you got both of those, just keep sacrificing and digging back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not infinite on one turn, but you can just keep doing it.
You just keep doing it.
Oh, how about that?
You got mana? Keep doing it. So, with Arkham Dagson, your commander is a tutor, so you need to have a plan. Try to figure out beforehand what you want to tutor and in what order. Because if you don't know, then everybody's going to hate you because you're just staring at your library for 5 minutes.
Right. So have a plan and stick to it.
Mm-hmm. So the first 3 I tend to get. First one is an untapper for Arkham. There's something like Thousand Year Elixir or Mage Rite Stone. And
if I
pay 1 mana and I tap one of those, then I can untap Arkham. So if I have enough mirror out, I can get a second tutor on my turn.
Come here, little buddies. Hey, look what I've got.
Now this step could be replaced by Mycosynth Lattice if you can get an unwinding clock out on the same turn. Otherwise, you might leave yourself exposed if you play the Mycosynth Lattice too early without other combo support. And we'll talk about Mycosynth Lattice in detail a bit later. But back to Unwinding Clock. That's probably the second or third one I get. It lets you untap all your artifacts on every player's turn. So it lets you untap the Elixir, which lets you untap Arkham on every player's turn. If you got the mana to pay the Elixir. So next one, we've already talked about it, Mirror Turbine. All you got to do is tap it. And you get a mirror to sacrifice. If you have all 3 of these things, and you have a mana rock or an artifact land to pay the elixir, then Arkham tutors an artifact to the battlefield on every player's turn. So Arkham secures his board state between turns 5 and 6.
Ooh, hold on.
And that could be,
I'm feeling faint.
That could be earlier. If your opening hand has a Soul Ring or Greaves and some mana-generating mirror. Now, some other strong choices for early tutoring include Doublers. Let's talk about Illusionist Bracers. It's an equipment, and you pay 3 to equip it on Arkham, and then he tutors 2 artifacts per sacrifice. Also, Rings of Brighthearth.
Yeah, good card.
And you don't have to tap it. You pay 2 mana, Arkham tutors 2 artifacts for sacrifice. Oh, and hey, many artifacts have activated abilities, so for 2 mana, your Mirror Turbine can make 2 mirror per tap.
Oh.
Or your Sentinel Flute can tutor 2 creatures. Or maybe you just get 2 Sentinel Flutes. You can get a Mirror Works. That costs 5. And if you got that out there, then anytime a non-token artifact enters the battlefield, you pay 2 mana, and you get a copy of it. So you can have your two Gilded Lotuses.
Are you playing Masterwork of Ingenuities as well?
I am playing Sculpting Steel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's painful.
So that's the setup.
So what you're saying with all of those cards in the setup is kill Arkham. Get rid of Arkham as quickly as you can.
Well,
I mean,
probably,
that's what,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. And you watch him assemble the setup pieces, and woe unto they who allow it to happen.
Yeah, all of that was just the setup.
Yeah.
And then you start tutoring two of the following combo pieces per every player's turn.
It's disgusting.
So let's get into mean things to do with artifacts.
I expect you have mastered this topic.
Let's talk about Mindslaver. Now, my deck does not include Mindslaver, but it could.
Oh, yes, it could.
Arkham could use a Mindslaver if he wants to.
Yes, he could.
Now, there are a few combos that involve artifact recursion from your graveyard. Things like Mindslaver and Academy Ruins, if you can manage to draw a card and untap that Ruins. Mindslaver and Trading Post, if you can get a little creature to sacrifice. Hey, you get your Mindslaver back.
That's ugly, Nate. Fortunately, those are the only evil things you can do with artifacts. Oh, no.
So we mentioned Mycosynth Lattice, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the root of all evil, isn't it?
Yeah, my deck doesn't include Mindslaver, but it does include Mycosynth Lattice. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you about all the things it can do. And this isn't even all the things it can do. If you have Mycosynth Lattice and an Unwinding Clock, then you untap all your stuff every turn. On every player's turn. If you got Mycosynth Lattice and Memnarch, you don't have to pay Memnarch to make things artifacts. If you got Mycosynth Lattice and Karn Silver Golem, then you can pay one mana to make an opponent's land into a 0/0 artifact creature.
Oh, no.
You got one mana? You don't have to tap Karn. You just pay the mana. How many lands you got? I got mana. You don't.
Oh, Nate.
And then there's the standard. Mycosynth Lattice and the Darksteel Forge.
Oh, yeah.
Means all of your permanents are indestructible. And then if you play a Nevin Earl's Disc, which destroys all artifacts, well, everything's an artifact.
Oh, look at that, everything.
But yours are indestructible.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Now here's one you might not have heard of. Mycosynth Lattice and Hercule's Recall.
Hercule's Recall. Oldie buddy goodie.
It's an instant for one and a blue. Return all of a target player's artifacts to their hand. Hey, everything's an artifact.
You, if I recall correctly, did this to friend of the show, Nick Jaragoski, which precipitated an entirely comedic series of, hey, let's deny Nick lands efforts.
Oh.
Yeah, poor Nick. Started with you, though.
Yeah, I did pull that off. I gave him the chance to not attack me.
Yeah.
I said, you really want to attack me? Okay. Kaboom.
It was hurtful. That was extremely hurtful. Oh.
So as an honorable mention, Liquimetal Coating is a really low converted mana cost artifact that works as a targeted lattice. You can just tap it to turn something into an artifact.
Hey, buddy, you got a little metal on you. What? So that is, oh, so that facilitates your grabbing somebody else's creature.
Yeah, he works with Memnarch. And he works with Karn.
Lovely.
So as a public service announcement, if you're in a game and you see a Mycosynth Lattice and you're not the one who played it, you get it off the board as soon as possible. Now, the same goes for Enchanted Evening, but that's a different episode.
Yeah, it is. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a good rule of thumb. If you see a Mycosynth Lattice, destroy it. You don't even want to leave it on the board. You don't even want to take control of it. You just destroy it.
Get it out.
Huh. All right.
There's more.
Oh, great.
Now, my deck doesn't use a lot of the following methods, but if you don't like having friends, here are some ways to use artifacts in very oppressive manners. Suppose you have a board full of colorless artifacts.
Yeah.
You can play all as dust.
Oh.
And then you keep your stuff, and they don't. Hey, if you're playing artifacts, you probably have the most mana rocks on the field.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, why use lands? For that matter, why let anyone use lands?
Oh, that's evil, Nate.
There's cards like Winter Orb, Static Orb, and maybe even a Frozen Aether.
Nate, that's bad.
I'm not even going to describe the cards. If you want to be evil, you can look them up. Those are the names of the cards.
Yeah, just understand, listeners, we are not in any way condoning your chasing away all of your friends. Or your being chased away from the table.
Yeah.
Use at your own risk.
And if you're not going to let anyone use lands, why let anyone use permanents? You got Smokestack, Tangle Wire, Ensnaring Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Meekstone. You all came to play a game of magic? Yeah, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to sit here for 2 hours while nothing happens.
Yeah. Do you bring a list of conversation starters?
Oh, you got to memorize some jokes or something. Just have them ready.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of long silences.
And sullen stares.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So, moving on from that section, we got the standard mono blue oppression.
Oh.
Hey, how about if we don't let things untap? You know Tamio the Moon Sage? You know Frost Titan? Those are popular choices. Hey, if you're no longer casting spells, you're just tapping your commander to do everything, why let anyone else cast spells? You got enchantments like Arcane Laboratory. Only one spell per turn. Mana Maze. You can't cast a spell if it's the same color as the last spell. So take that, Mizzix and Dralnu.
Yeah, Dralnu.
And hey, if you got an unwinding clock and you got mana rocks, you can buy back your cap size every turn. Just pick off the worst permanent every turn.
Do you run Mana Maze?
Not in this deck.
But there is a deck that does run it.
Da-na-na.
Oh, Nate. Oh, my God, it's a gumball.
Mm.
Oh, and it's even worse. You can't play spells that share a color with the spell last played this turn.
Nope.
But it's all players.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay.
And it's like a mini Iona.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible. That's such a white effect. It's got to be a color pie violation. Hmm.
Yeah, there's a bunch of arbiters. Silent Arbiter.
Yeah.
That's an artifact. Can't get attacked by a lot of things. Crawl space, if you want to pillow fort it up, because everyone hates you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some other important artifact. Tech. Sentinel Flute is a creature tutor. You might want to grab one of those zero casting cost creatures. And then all you got to do is tap the flute. You don't pay mana.
Are you running Ornithopter?
I am.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, here's an interesting one. There's something called a Dross Scorpion.
Yeah.
It's an artifact creature for 4. It's a 3/1, but whatever. Whenever Dross Scorpion or another artifact creature is put into a graveyard from play, you may untap target artifact. Like that Mere Turbine that taps to make a creature that you then sacrifice that lets you untap the Mere Turbine to make another creature to sacrifice. Oh, hey, you ever heard of Blasting Station?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an artifact for 3, and you can sacrifice that Mere Turbine creature, and then Blasting Station deals a damage to target creature or player. But sacrificing that Mere makes Draw Scorpion untap the Mere Turbine. Oh, and whenever a creature comes into play, like from tapping the Mere Turbine, you may untap Blasting Station.
This is bad. Who thought these cards up? Oh, and this is, oh, this is from the Mirrodin block, both of them. No wonder the Mirrodin block is so broken. Oh, I've got a pain in my neck, Nate. It's from stress, thinking about seeing these cards across the table. Oh.
So I think that might cover Arkham for now. We can get into some other tech that works for all of these commanders.
Yeah, let's go back into a happier space than Arkham.
Yeah. Now, all of these commanders tap to do their thing. Hey, we can add artifact and or mono blue untap abilities to do their thing more than once. I already mentioned Thousand Year Elixir, I think is probably the best one. Mage Rite Stone. Then there's Staff of Domination. Umbral Mantle. Then there's an enchantment aura called Pemmin's Aura that you need to feed it blue mana, but it works. Then Retreat to Coral Helm, which is a landfall enchantment. Then there's Intruder Alarm, which untaps everything whenever a creature enters the battlefield.
So hopefully you're denying your opponent's creatures.
Well, hopefully, yeah. And then there's a legendary land called Minamo School at Water's Edge, which will let you untap a target legendary creature if you pay it a blue.
Yeah. That I run that in Rune. I run that in Muzio, of course. Pretty much anything that has a blue commander or critical creature that taps gets a Minamo. I mean, it's shared because it's a super expensive card, but there it is.
It's in the staple binder.
Yep.
So to gauge the relative importance of this category, Mare Bear uses 6 or 7 of those. Now, there's also the creature category. We know our friend Josh Lee Kwai really likes Fate Stitcher, which is a zombie that costs 4 CMC in blue, and it can tap or untap. But I prefer Effeto Alchemist, which
card.
Is only 1 in a blue and lets you untap. It gets online sooner.
Yeah, Effeto Alchemist is a great card. There are some infinite combos with Effeto Alchemist, too. Which, of course, we won't talk about. Grand Architect.
Now, we already mentioned Rings of Brighthearth and Illusionist Bracers. They work for all of today's commanders because they have activated abilities.
Yeah, they do. It's funny. I have Rings of Brighthearth in Muzio, but I don't think I put Illusionist Bracers in. Illusionist Bracers I have in Marath, but...
Now, Arkham and Muzio, they both use artifacts. Some pretty standard blue artifact cards you want to use are Master Transmuter.
Yep.
It's a creature that costs 3 and a blue. It's a 1/2. You pay a blue and you tap it, and you return an artifact you control back to your owner's hand, and you may put an artifact card from your hand onto the battlefield. So it's like a blue Elvish Piper. You're making a trade.
Yep.
Then there's a Planeswalker, Tezzeret the Seeker. He's got a lot of artifact nonsense going on. He costs 3 blue-blue, loyalty 4. +1, untap up to 2 target artifacts, such as your Gilded Lotuses, so you can cast some more. You can pay -X to search your library for an artifact card with converted mana cost X or less and put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. So you can throw your Tezzeret out early and let that tutor and throw onto the battlefield for one of your combo pieces. Next up, -5. Only -5?
Only
Are you kidding me? Artifacts you control become 5/5 artifact creatures until end of turn. We talked about this guy last episode when we were talking about having 100 clues on the table.
Yeah. He's a little pricey, but absolutely worth it, in, especially in the clue deck. And if you want to turn your 1/1 Thopters into 5/5 Thopters, well, hello. Because it doesn't take away their flying either.
Now, some of these commanders, maybe you got to pay mana to do their thing. You want a cheaper activation. There's an enchantment for a single blue called Training Grounds.
Oh, yeah.
That makes your activation cost 2 generic mana less. Then there's a Vedalken Engineer, which is 1 and a blue. Let's see. Where the hell are you?
Hey, Vedalken Engineer.
Then there's Vedalken Engineer for 1 and a blue creature. Vedalken Artificer, 1/1. You tap him, you add 2 mana of any one color to your mana pool. spend this mana only to play artifact spells or activate abilities of artifacts.
Mm-hmm. What is the artificer from Fate Reforged that has a similar ability?
Renowned Weaponsmith. That's the is one, similar. Yeah. Costs one and a blue.
Yep. You tap for two colorless, and you can spend it only to cast artifact spells or activate abilities of artifacts. But that's not too bad. I say, Nate. Let me see this Vedalken Engineer. Oh, Vedalken Engineer is better.
Yeah, the mana's got color.
Yep. Gotta like the color.
So if you're in blue, some other mono blue artifact good stuff you can use. Vedalken Shackles. Costs three, and you can pay two and tap it, and then you gain control of a target creature that has power less than or equal to the number of islands you control.
And you're playing a few islands in this deck.
Yeah.
Any of these decks.
Yeah. So you're going to get some creature. Then there's Quicksilver Fountain.
Ooh.
Hey, do you like Blood Moon? Do you like a really slow Blood Moon that turns everything into islands? Oh, and hey, once it turns everything into islands, all the flood counters wash away, but it's still there and it starts over.
So eventually you choke your opponents off a little bit.
Yeah, I hope you got blue spells.
Yep.
Or artifacts.
Well, Nate, these are devastating commanders, in particular Arkham. Arkham is frightening. Yesterday was the first time I think I had playtested or played even against an Arkham deck, and when I saw it, my palms started sweating. I couldn't keep my hand on my mouse. It kept slipping off. It was so sweaty.
Yeah, your machine betrayed you.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. But I have to say, Muzio was a lot of fun to play. I'd like to try Jalira. Jalira, again, feels very green because it's pulling out big creatures.
Yeah, killing them too.
Yep. Killing them, putting them out, killing them, putting them out.
So it's like Golgari in mono blue.
I was just going to say, it's a black-green-blue effect. Do you think that's a color pie violation? Do you think the designer who created that card still has all of his or her fingers?
Probably lost a knuckle there.
Yeah. That's a knuckle. And the defense that saved the finger was, but it's artifacts!
Oh, no, Jalira's not artifacts.
Doesn't she sacrifice an artifact creature?
Nope. Just any creature.
Oh, too bad about that. Oh, Nate.
Yep, that's Jalira.
You remind me of Ghidra every time you say that.
Well, all right then.
Yeah, and she's inexpensive. She's the least expensive commander of the ones we've talked about at 32 cents. Muzio is like $2.50 or so, and then $5 for Arkham. And of course, that just reflects their power levels. Do you think you could build a budget Arkham deck?
Well, I think Mycosynth Lattice is like $20, so that's problematic.
Oh, yeah. I think I have a Mycosynth Lattice. Yay. I mean, not that I would ever use it.
Yeah, Tezzeret's about $8. Darksteel Forge is $6. So a lot of your key combo pieces are problematic. Unwinding Clock is about $7.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty key. So you couldn't really build a very effective Arkham deck. Everybody would come gunning for you as if you had built one, and then turns out you've got like a C-tier deck.
Yep.
Yep. Wow. Darksteel Forge is that high? It was like 50 cents. Oh, Mycosynth is $25. Oh, the low end is $18, $19. Whoa.
Yay?
I guess. Deters abuse. Wow. So now your message, Nate's message of the week is a little bit scary given all of this, isn't it?
Yeah, so my message of the week tends to be a specific card that counters whatever strategy we just talked about for the last 2 hours. We already talked at length last episode about Hellkite Tyrant, so we're going to skip that this time. And we probably already know about our favorite artifact removal spells in your favorite colors. So for this message of the week... Perhaps the next most powerful weapon against Arkham and Muzio is the lady herself, Thada Adele Acquisitor. One blue, legendary creature, merfolk rogue, 2/2, Hey, she's got island walk. Hey, you know who's got islands? Arkham and Muzio.
Yeah.
So they're getting hit. And hey, whenever Thada Adel Inquisitor deals combat damage to a player, search that player's library for an artifact card and exile it. Then that player shuffles his or her library. Well, you could stop there. Until end of turn, you may play that card if you pay the mana for it.
Mm.
Now, instead of stealing the Soul Ring out of their deck and casting it, how about you find that Mycosynth Lattice, or that Darksteel Forge, or that Unwinding Clock, and you just exile it. Look around the library, quickly try to figure out what particular flavor of shenanigans they're planning, and remove the biggest problem card. And then the next turn, you do it again.
Goodness gracious, that's terrible. And I suppose if you're looking for the Mycosynth Lattice in one of these and do not see it, it means it's in their hand.
Probably so, or else they don't have $25.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Well, that's nasty. Not even kind of nasty, Nate. That's full-on nasty.
Yeah, Arkham's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, Arkham's got to be stopped. So, my advice to all listeners who see an Arkham drop in their meta, you take that player out and teach them to play something friendly like Kresh.
Gotta kill that Arkham.
You gotta kill that Arkham. That's truth.
You gotta blast those Vandals. Spree those Shatters.
You bet. Or just Hellkite Tyrant them.
Yeah, it's a pretty specific case, though.
Yeah. But if you know your meta has an Arkham or any of these other commanders, yeah, it's good insurance.
Yeah, you just wait until they play the Mycosynth Lattice and then hit them with a hasty Hellkite Tyrant. And then take all their stuff.
And win it.
And then maybe they won't play Arkham so much.
Yeah. Oh, brutal. Nate, this has been another fantastic show. I hope we hear a lot from our listeners. Mainly, tweet at us and tell us your stories about these commanders. If you've seen them, if you've played them, let us know what's most effective. If we missed a particular card that's your favorite, let us know. I know most of you aren't shy, but those of you who are just sort of hanging back and thinking, oh, maybe they don't want to hear from me. No, we want to hear from you. By all means, write to us, cast@commanderandmtg.com. Tweet us, @commanderandmtg. And again, Nate, the most fun I have is when we're talking to our listeners, when somebody brings us up in conversation, usually on Twitter, because it's easy to do, and we loop each other into the conversation, and we get to weigh in and just have fun. And we play test with our listeners. Recently, we've been experimenting a ton with a bunch of new folks, including some of the new Patreon donators. We are running a Patreon. I'd almost completely slipped my mind, Nate. We're running a Patreon chat with our $10 and above donators, our patrons, and asking them what to cover, asking them about advice on different topics. They really helped out with the Charles episode this time around. I know that they've been making comments in the document, in our show plan document, because they get to see it ahead of time. So if you have any interest at all in seeing what one of these, you know, what one humble podcast show plan document looks like, donate at the $10 level and you'll see it every week. Special thanks to all those folks. As always, our theme song was created by the podcast by you, Nate. You created our theme song.
Yeah, that's me.
Yep, that's you. Our logo was created by a gentleman named Mr. Picto. His parents had funny ideas about names, with assistance from Kelly DeLuca. And special thanks to our tech whizzes, Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. Once again, you can reach us by going to all of the social medias and searching for Commanderin MTG Podcast. Please go to our website. We have space for comments on each of the episodes, so please come to our website, commanderandmtg.com. And our email is cast@commanderandmtg.com. Hey, and individually on Twitter, he is Mr. Plorg.
I'm at Mr. Plorg. I am now an artifact creature.
Beep.
We are all artifact creatures.
Nate, have you been Borgified?
We have been Mycosynth Latticed. And so have you.
Yeah, it's terrible. On Twitter, I'm at KetJack, and Sean is at Copain26. All complaints should go to Sean at Copain26 on Twitter. Nate, it's just us, so...
And that is our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Thada Adele, Acquisitor.
Hello, it's me. I heard you had some juicy artifacts there in your library, so hand it over, your soul ring. I'll take your solemn simulacrum and your greaves made of lightning. There are islands between us, and it makes me smile. Hello from the seaside, your artifacts will all be mine. And I'm not sorry for my island walk, even when I exile your last man of rock. Oh no.